Hello, and welcome to Triumphant Failures. My name is Don, and I host this little podcast in the hopes of helping you to overcome the stigma of failure. Through these stories, I hope to change your perspective from thinking about failure as something to fear to embracing your failures as a necessary step on your way to success. So come and join me as we dive right into today's Triumphant Failure. Today's subject inhaled his first breath on January 6th, 1955, in Durham County, United Kingdom. He was the youngest child born to his mother, Ella, who was a stay-at-home mother, and his father, Eric. His father was a farmer, and our subject grew up in an upper-middle-class family. However, things would not be so easy for our young subject. In school, he was constantly bullied and teased. You see, this young boy was not considered good-looking. And on top of his mediocre appearance, he had developed a stutter at a young age and would be teased incessantly about his speech impediment. The way that he was mistreated by his fellow classmates led him to become a bit of a reclusive introvert while at school. I should, however, let you know that even though it seemed like the odds were stacked against our young subject, he did not completely lose hope. In everything that I read while researching this subject, nowhere did it even mention anything like depression, which in itself is pretty peculiar. I mean, most people who grow up with the 1-2 punch combo of being told they're ugly along with a stuttering problem are understandably troubled with depression and other self-esteem issues, but not our subject. And here is why I believe this to be the case. You see, he grew up fairly well off, meaning that he and his family did not have money issues compounding the negativity that he felt at school. His home life was, by all accounts, filled with love, peace, and lots of laughter. His mother used to encourage him and tell him that he could do whatever he set his mind to, while his father used to encourage him to live his life loose, free, and happy. He would often tell him that there was no need to take things so seriously, and that life was too short to not have some fun every chance that you get. It also didn't hurt that he was the youngest child, and his parents treated him with the privileges that most younger siblings are afforded. When he reached high school, he started exploring the world of drama, once again doing the opposite of what most kids with a speech impediment would do. Flying in the face of his reclusive nature, our subject actually showed promise at acting. Here is a quote from our subject's high school physics teacher. In class, he was very middle of the road. There was nothing outstanding about him. I didn't expect him to become a fantastic scientist, and he was a quiet lad who walked his own path. But when he walked on stage, he was exceptional. Our subject would put his enjoyment of acting on a side burner for a little while after high school. He went on to major in electrical engineering at Newcastle University, and then proceeded to Queen's College, Oxford in 1975. It was here, at Queen's College, that he would pick acting back up as a fun hobby while continuing his study of electrical engineering. He ended up joining several drama groups and thoroughly enjoyed writing and performing. Something peculiar was happening to our subject on the stage that I haven't mentioned to you yet that is one of the major reasons that he enjoyed being on stage. He found early on that when he stepped onto the stage, he could sometimes become another character so well that his stutter would disappear. But as soon as the sketch would come to its conclusion and he exited the stage, the stutter would inevitably return. Coming up, we learn how our subject turned his biggest weakness into his greatest strength, and I reveal his identity right after the break. And now, the big reveal. Despite his stutter and lack of symmetrical facial features, our subject continued to pour himself into his acting, and just a short time after graduating from Queen's College, Oxford, he landed some pretty notable gigs with the BBC. It started out with some BBC radio sketches, and he would eventually move on to do Not the 9 O'Clock News, a popular comedy sketch show on the BBC television network. From there, he would not only land the starring role of the BBC's Blackadder, but he would also help to write and produce this show, which was set in the Middle Ages. These gigs got our subject some notoriety. However, it would be his next role that would make our subject a worldwide household name. You see, it was on New Year's Day in 1990 that Thames Television aired a half-hour special that introduced the world to the iconic character of Mr. Bean. Rowan Atkinson's character, Mr. Bean, connected with audiences around the world in a way that other British comedy actors just couldn't. You see, because of his stutter, Rowan Atkinson spent a lot of time focusing and working on his physical acting abilities, allowing him to bring the mostly silent Mr. Bean to life. Without a language barrier, audiences around the globe instantly connected with the hapless character and the hilarious hijinks that he would find himself in. By 1997, Atkinson's Mr. Bean was so popular that he starred in his own feature film simply titled Bean. The film had an $18 million budget and went on to gross $250 million worldwide. 10 years later, Rowan Atkinson would bring Mr. Bean back to the big screen in his second feature film, Mr. Bean's Holiday. This film performed almost the same as the prior, grossing $230 million on a $25 million budget. Rowan Atkinson has also gone on to star in many other movies and has had many other television appearances. At the time of this recording, Rowan Atkinson has an estimated net worth of $150 million. I believe that even though there wasn't an obvious choice that led to a major failure in the life and career of Rowan Atkinson, we can consider his physical appearance and speech impediment as no small hurdles that he had to clear in order to reach success. I also believe that the way that his parents equipped him with the thought processes he needed to navigate through life in such a successful way is something that we should choose to learn from and emulate in our own journey. The adversity that you or I might face after a major failure is not much different from the adversity that Rowan faced due to his limitations, and the way that his parents taught him to deal with adversity applies to us as well. So today, I leave you with this thought. Regardless of how others perceive you, regardless of your limitations, regardless of the adversity that you may face due to failure or limitations, you still have what it takes to turn your biggest weakness into your greatest strength. It is all up to you and what you choose to believe about yourself. Well, I hope that you enjoyed today's triumphant failure. If you did, please share this podcast with your friends and leave a review on your podcast platform. If you have a triumphant failure story of your own, you can use the link in the episode description to leave an audio message for me. At some point in the near future, I will be starting a listener story segment in each episode starring your audio messages. If you would like to support this podcast, you can make a monthly contribution of $1, $5, or $10 by simply clicking the link in the description and following a few simple steps. Your contributions will help to provide much-needed equipment like an audio mixer and a better microphone to help streamline my recording process. My goal is to be able to bring you new triumphant failures more often and with better sound. Thank you all for listening, and remember to always fail triumphantly.